Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of a healing gong by our guest that will be on a bit later, Kathleen Casey of Sound Alchemy. Welcome you all to the program. Welcome in love and light. Welcome all that are in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. It's great to see everyone coming to the program, and welcome all listening via Cosmic Dimensions and all that are listening via phone and all that will be listening later in iTunes and the archives. It's absolutely wonderful to connect with all of you. So you have tuned into Awakenings or surfed into Awakenings. I'm your host and, as I like to say, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. And if you're a guest on the program, let me tell you a bit about Awakenings. Awakenings is a live, interactive internet talk radio program that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. Awakenings hosts dialogues and conversations with conscious beings from all walks of life. We have conversations with visionaries, progressive healers, metaphysicians, musicians, artists, people really from all walks of life that have in common that they are awake or awakening, and they're taking this awakened state into their everyday living and making a difference. We also bridge here science, art, and spirituality, seeing that it's coming from that higher mind or creative consciousness, and we're really about supporting the collective and individual awakening that we're all a part of and assisting to co-create. So you'll find wonderful support here in the form of guests that have walked the path of awakening, are spiritually integrated, but also that bring wonderful tools, whether through books or services or CDs or just even hearing their story, their own unfoldment. And so we really like to be a sense of that gathering place, virtual community, if you will, and also a place where you can get that insight, inspiration, and upliftment. And there's that little bit of shot of spiritual insight and love that lets you keep going right on through your day, right on through your week. And we air every Wednesday and Friday. And you can also get the archives on Blog Talk Radio or, of course, iTunes and other podcast outlets as well. And if you'd like to listen as a guest, that's great. But if you'd like to interact in the chat room, all you need to do is sign up for Blog Talk Radio, and that just requires your name and email. And you'll find that at the bottom of the chat, it'll either say sign in or I believe register. And in that lets you also interact. I mean, you can listen, like click to listen, but you can also, may want to interact as well in the chat room. And if you'd like to listen by phone, that number is 347-539-5122. And again, that's 347-539-5122. And if you have a comment for the guests or myself or feedback, all you do is press 1 on the keypad, and that will alert me on the switchboard that you would like to be heard. And everyone knows I like to hear all of you, so I love it when you call in. I'm really, and I said this the last few times that we've been meeting, that we've been on air, that I'm really loving the emails that are coming in about where and how you listen to Awakenings. So if you'd like to contribute to that, send me an email at awakenings@selfinlight.com. And again, that's where or how you listen to Awakenings. And that is at awakenings@selfinlight.com. And we have had people emailing from, listening while taking a bath, cooking and having some wonderful red wine, and mowing the lawn. That's right now. That's I love that one. I'm thinking it had to be with the iPod or something. While mowing the lawn, we had driving children to school on the treadmill, exercise bike, hiking. On a sailboat. A couple of people that listen at work, which is great. A couple of people that actually work, one in the tech field, I believe, so listening by computer, so they're actually able to have their headphones on all day and they listen to a few programs, Awakenings being one of them, which I thought was really cool. And a couple people emailing saying, when you see this number, don't pick up because I'm listening at work and I won't be able to respond. I don't know how they're doing that, but I think that's great. I think especially if somebody's working in an office, why not? I think that's I tried to do that once years ago from traffic school, but it didn't quite work way back when the I had one piece of the headset in my ear, and so this was back with the I can't even think of what they were called, but it wasn't the MP3 player. And the instructor said, you know, you can't be you have to have focus. I said, well, I'm multitasking. I'm able to listen to you while listening to my music. That didn't go over very well, but if anybody listening at traffic, now you can do traffic school online, so you don't have to, if you ever have that experience, you don't have to go anywhere. But anyway, it's great to be with you, and it's great to get your feedback of how the program is unfolding for you. Had a wonderful email the other day also from a listener participant, because you're all participating in this, holding the space. That had a wonderful session with one of our guests. So that was also some great feedback. So, again, any feedback, and if you'd like to be on the email list, that's awakenings@selfinlight.com. And, of course, we have the Awakenings radio page on Facebook, so to keep in touch that way. I'm doing all this now because I tend to sometimes forget towards the end of the program, and because we're usually deep into our conversation, so this way you have all that information that you need to be in touch, because that's what this is about. And we are doing a bit of a little, was going to be a contest, but I'll just say everybody will be a winner, because I, with this where and how you listen to Awakenings, because there's just so many great ones, and so there will be a gift for those that send me your email. And also I want to let everyone know we have some people that have subscribed to some of my videos on YouTube that have been asking questions, as well as listeners via the Facebook. So what I'm doing is normally once a month, I'm the guest. I'm the interviewer and I'm the guest, right? So, usually I do healings. We do some transmission work. The next one coming up, I'm going to focus also on dream therapy. This is a wonderful time right now to really look at the symbolism in your life. So we're going to be looking at that and focusing even more so on consciousness made manifest, so making your conscious creations into manifested form. Focusing on the soul alignment as well. And what I thought I would do for that part of the program is read some of the questions that people have been asking. I've emailed, and my assistants have emailed back most of the people, but if somehow an email was missed, this is for all of you that have been emailing. It's just some of the questions are so important. They're so pertinent to what we're all going through right now, individually and collectively, that I just feel that it'd be better, rather than me answering one at a time, to just answer them on air, because I think a lot of people will benefit. And then also, then we can get some of especially you in the chat room and those of you that call in, get some of your input of how you're handling certain things on the path. And that's, again, wonderful questions from very esoteric, very advanced about light beings, what are light beings, how to connect with light beings, from ascended masters, from holistic health questions, mental, emotional, body questions, emotional clearing questions, from how do I know who to go to? What is a good practitioner? Or what? How do I know if somebody is a bona fide or authentic or psychic or psychic medium or channel? What do I look for? So there's some just wonderful, very astute, very pertinent questions, some also on 2012, a lot about on the soul and how to live more fulfilled. So I really want to share all of those with each and every one of you, answer myself, but I'm definitely open for other answers too. I mean, I'm giving answers from my life experience, my perception, perspective, and my training. But there's all, I feel on the path, there are definitely some, principles. There's the basic, there's some foundations, foundational information or foundational approaches. But also because we're also individual, that we can depart from that as well. So it's good to get, I feel, the foundational principles or ideology, as well as expansion or evolution, because there is some of the principles or ideology has to be up-leveled, has to be changed, and is changing. Our spirituality, to some degree, and our spiritual awareness and the manifestation of that aspect of us does need to evolve over time, because as we evolve individually and collectively as a group, as a community, we have new needs, new wants, new awarenesses. So sometimes it's very difficult. Some people try to do this, and it really does cause problems. Some people try to keep with the old mode, the old modality of something, when really what's wanting to come through is this new emergence, that there's the new evolution. God is evolving. The I am, you are, I am that I am is evolving and integrating more aspects of itself and expressing and experiencing more aspects of itself. And so because of that, there is this constant flow, this constant expansion, if allowed. And Tammy's putting in the chat, need to upgrade. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And there's a wonderful inventor, scientist, philosopher, Ray Kurzweil, that speaks of this. Rupert Sheldrake touches upon this. Dr. Bruce Lipton touches upon this, that we are going through an up-leveling, an updating. And I saw this interview years ago, actually on Larry King, and I just about fell off my sofa. I was like, whoa, because it was some information that I'd gotten about 5 years previously from the spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls, that we were going through this whole updating, basically up-leveling of our software, or not just externally, but internally, and that there would be a different regulator within our body. And that we would be more accessing from the pineal gland and all that means, more the higher mind or expanded consciousness, and that we basically had the same body that we had since the Industrial Revolution, since the turn of the century. And so that body and physically and physiologically, all that means has to change, has to expand, not just externally, but internally. To hold the new energy, the new vibrational frequency, the more expanded consciousness that we already are, that we have, but we're just talking about bringing it into this level or rising above it, if you want to say, ascending to it, however you want to look at it. So we can't have, if you look at, and I thought, wow, that's true. How can you have, we have to be changing. We have to use more of the right brain, accessing more of that, moving into creative solutions instead of problem solving. if you look at use of computer, if you look at the inventions and the innovations that are happening. So lo and behold, I guess it was about a year or two ago, I'm channel switching, and this fascinating man was on Larry King, of all people. And all of a sudden, he's talking this language that seemed very metaphysical, but he's a scientist and an inventor, an innovator. And he talked about this, we're upgrading our software. And I went, oh, my God, yeah, okay, there we go, confirmation. Not that I need one, but I still get tickled by them. So fascinating, fascinating interview. And went into great detail about the changes that would be happening, not just externally by our creations and inventions such as computers and, you know, iPhone, iPod, you know, being able to turn something, you know, on in your house even though you're miles away. I mean, he went into all that kind of, you know, people call Star Wars stuff. But most importantly, how we're changing as a species, as a human body, and what we're embodying, and how our mind, our brain, the computer is changing, and the software is changing, and we're getting these uploads, this up-leveling that's happening. So it's very fascinating. And I just always get tickled by the correlations of science and spirituality and metaphysics, of course, being a aspect of that, and then how it relates to art, to the creativity, to our creative expression. And of course, all of this comes from that one mind, that one place, that source energy that many of us tap into. One of the creations, too, that we've been finding is the idea of moving beyond beliefs, moving into vibration more. Well, beliefs are a vibration, but they're still an outpicturing of the original tone or wavelength and waveform that creates that vibration, that tone that then creates the thought form that then generates that physical or manifested form, a more denser, gross, subtle energy form that we can touch that's very tangible to us. One of the things that many people are saying, and I'm observing with myself in my own practice and that people that I talk to around the world, is the importance of sound, of tone, of getting back to that vibrational frequency of healing, of balance, of homeostasis, and even getting beyond the mental constructs to do this, to go into that place of oneness or the universal heart to get the information, to get the alignment that is needed and necessary, whether it's an individual healing or a collective healing. We have with us, and I should say back with us, a wonderful sound healing wise woman practitioner, I'm going to put it that way, Kathleen Casey. If you want to go to her website, it's soundalchemykc.com so you can get a visual. I really want to welcome back to the program Kathleen. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, wonderful to hear you.
I know. Good to hear you, too.
I was just thinking with all this updating and up-leveling, you know, how the sound in many ways is so important because it gets us out of our thinking. You know, gets us into our feeling.
Yes, and in fact, I was spending some time before the show just dropping into the heart and at some point want to share a very simple process to do just what you said.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Now, you have been on before, but we do have lots and lots and lots of new listener participants. So if you wouldn't mind going over a bit of your unfoldment, how you came to sound. Of course, we played, I don't know if you were in the chat or not or heard, we played a little bit of that wonderful healing gong that you have. I had a little MP3 of it, so I played a little bit of it, which always, and that might be why I'm such in a dreamy mood or mode right now, because that gong just does something to me.
Oh, good. Well, wait till you hear the new mallets, and I get those recorded. Those are wonderful. I'm really excited about the new dimension that it's moved into. I was actually listening up until Air Porter dropped me down to too little and bounced me out. So I had to call and finish listening.
Oh, really?
So you got? I missed that. I'm not sure what happened. Every now and then that occurs. So I did miss that part. But thank you for doing that.
I love to listen to that. Yeah, I know sometimes people get bounced out. And we do have some people. Sylvia and Tammy are welcoming you. She
yes,
is incredible.
And hi, Sylvia and Tammy. I tried
and,
to in the chat and say hi because I saw Sylvia's hi, and that's when I got bounced out.
Good. Oh, you did. Oh, gosh. Okay. So where do we want to just touch on a bit of how you came to sound or sound came to you, how you were directed to work in this way, I guess, connect and work in this way. Hey, we have Simon in the chat. Forget that question.
Oh, Simon, all right. That's great.
Great, from Oz. Welcome. I'm Michelle Kapp. Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon to you. Well, good morning to him, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, one of these days we'll be able to see everybody really well, not just with the third eye vision.
Yeah.
That. Well, all right. So a quick, maybe quick review. You know, I think almost everybody, when they start doing whatever it is, maybe they spend a lot of their lifetime doing, even though we all know the form can change quite a lot. We look back and see little steps that we had no idea where we'd end up, but they started early. And for me, I was exposed to Gregorian chant as a teenager. And when I look back, I can see that what would happen is that my mind would empty out, and I would just be there with nothing in my mind and in this deep state of peace. It affected me quite a lot. And later on, I had a teacher in the 60s, during which time I was a flower child, and decided early on that I needed to find something that made more sense to me than the current religions as they were being taught. I needed something a bit deeper. And so I began a search. And I was taught very early, which I do have on the website, to sound. My teacher told me that if you allow yourself to make spontaneous sounds, you can bypass your personality and grow. I did a star 70, and I just hear a beat. Let me just do it again.
Okay.
Well,
hello?
We're getting an incoming, and I've done a star 70, but it didn't seem to stop it.
Oh, so okay.
I'll just ignore it. So at any rate, I started tuning about 40-some-odd years ago, and it just stayed with me. You know, I can't say that I did it every day, but I'd find myself, say, on a sacred site. I once was in between the paws of the Sphinx and sitting there in the middle of the night, and suddenly I started toning, and I toned in stone circles. And any time I would be in a sacred site, that would be what would happen. And I know that I learned later that stone, particularly stone, holds memory of everything that's ever happened around it. And I found myself...
Stone does, like metal.
Stone,
yes.
Yeah. And I found myself doing things like when in Ireland, I just automatically, when I went into a stone circle, I touched my third eye to the stones. Now, I learned later about the stone from John O'Donohue, the late marvelous John O'Donohue, who wrote about it, Holding Memory. So I realized that there was this combination of my intuitively touching the stone with my third eye, and toning in those areas that was affecting me. So I would say, without going into a long, drawn-out story, that those are the things that in the present moment spring to mind. The intuition, you know, it's I love my intuition. It always guides me when I, you know, as I pay attention to it and more, it's always telling me to do the right thing, even when my intellect is wondering, and why are you doing this? You know, but I look back, and it always led me until... when I was in Ireland living for about a year, and I was doing a lot of healing work, at that time I was not using, I used sound privately for myself, just as a spiritual practice. I wasn't using it for healing at that point. And I had someone come to me who presented something that was so intense that I said, I really think you need to see someone else. And she said, my guides told me you could help me. And I'm looking upward and saying, all right, you're really going to have to help me. I have no clue what to do with this woman. And I suddenly heard you need to sound through her crown chakra and ask her to breathe with you and breathe this out of her body while you sound. Mm-hmm. And it just started, I mean, truly out of desperation, I started using sound. And then language... spontaneously came through me. Actually, a year before, I had no clue what to do with this. It was very, it totally took me over twice. I understood later more about this, how that happens. It's a certain type of transference of power, as I understand it now, that is of a certain shamanic nature. The first time it happened, it was clearly, it felt a very strong feminine presence. And then a year later, it happened with a very strong, more what felt like a masculine presence. And now that it's been integrated, and this was 93 and 94, now it's been so many years that it's integrated. It has never taken me over. It's a, we're all together. I understand that I need, I was told early on, get over the idea you're an individual. You know, I mean, there's the illusion of your physical body, but we're all here together, and you're just the physical manifestation.
Mm.
So,
and they would say you're just a physical manifestation.
Right, this body is a physical manifestation, and so you could intellectualize about it. I mean, there are lots of ways you can look at it. There's an oversoul, and many of the ones that are showing up now, since there's no time. All present time, and there are certain, it's very shamanic, a lot of the sounds, a lot of the language people remark. So we could say that many shaman show up, and it never feels like I'm channeling, it always feels like it's me. So I'm just aware that there is a much broader sense of reality and identification that I move into as my personality sort of, what would I say? It's here, but it isn't in charge. And it has no clue what really is going on in a certain sense. It's got vague ideas. But, you know, when people tell me, as they tell many people who do healing work, I thought you were touching my head. And when I looked, you were nowhere near my head. You know, and that happens to many of us. So we know that the illusion is that this physical being is doing this and that, but we know that that's just not true. We're in the big mystery here, the great mystery, and we're participating. You know, we're in alignment. I looked at your website, Michelle, and I saw that you had soul alignment. You know, that was the name of, before Sound Alchemy, that was the name that I was using, was soul alignment for my business.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I, like you, when you know, trained on this and sent, you know, on the mission, so to speak, that was the term, even with the channeling, that it was channel guidance, and they were very specific, and also that it was the soul alignment, or the aligning, you know, the soul. And now I find many of us in this converging flow, out of the harmonic convergence, that we're coming together from all walks of life, all, you know, all areas, you know, nationally, internationally, universally, cosmologically, we're all coming together with this one focus coming into the center to assist, facilitate, initiate this up-leveling, this, you know, healing and expansion on a different level. So it's interesting that you say that, because I find quite a few people that I've been meeting over the years, and I, like you, have been doing this so long, it's just been in the last probably 4 or 5 years that you're hearing a lot of the same language and focus, you know, and intention and actual names, like you said, same names or similar names of something that people are sharing and saying, oh, that's what I had, or I was doing that, or this is what I also say, or I call it and say, wow, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's very confirming, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there is only one mind, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It makes sense. And we each are meant to express it in a very different way. In fact, I had a wonderful yoga class yesterday from someone who substituted, who is a yoga therapist, and she read something that I would love to read to people.
It's very, I love it. Yeah.
Okay. There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares with other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open.
Wow. You said something too there, or he did, that, and
Martha,
this is the
Graham.
One thing that's, who is it?
Martha Graham. The wonderful.
Martha Graham?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Well, I used to be a dancer, so another synchronicity here. I love that. Oh, my God, beautiful. But, you know, that, what she said, you know, through you, you're reading these words now, that we're not to worry about how this or how that, but to move into the fullness, right, of our being and fullness expression of that, because we all hold a piece that's needed and necessary.
Yes. Yes. And so many of us have gone through periods of comparing what our gift is to someone else's. And
yeah.
Feeling
yeah,
we fall short. I just thought this was one of the best expressions what our business is that I ever saw to keep the channel. And I just loved it. So I said, can I quickly make a copy of this?
To keep that channel open.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all, it's just, of course, channeling in different forms. If we are these holographic images that change shape and form, right? That source matter is the same, but that life force animating energy, you know, that is us experiencing us through us as us. We're changing the shape and form. We're all from that same source or same form. It's channeling from that source. And knowing, right, that if we're here, we're really meant to be. I think that's a big healing for a lot of people, is that if you're here, you are meant to be.
Mm. Yes. And whatever, you know, Pema Chodron also says something that I really love. Whatever is before you is your path. There's no better place for any of us to be than right where we are today, doing exactly what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to project into the future when we'll be this or that. I mean, we all know this, but just remembering
yeah.
that we don't have to be better or doing something that looks more significant. You know, I'm often in awe when people are on the table in the healing room and I'm doing work with them. It's really, to tell you the truth, more about acknowledging who they are and helping them remember who they are. It's really, I can't really call it a healing anymore because, you know, I really don't think of it as that as much as remembering. And what I notice is that most people are doing so much work that they're not aware of because the intellect is what's telling them. That's where most of us are getting our feedback from, is the intellect. And the intellect is in duality. It can't assess the work that we're doing at the soul level. It just can't do it. So the only way to understand what we're really doing is to drop into the heart. And when the mind and the heart are connected, we can feel in our whole being and know if there's something other than what we're doing right now, we'll know what it is. But it's never with you should be doing this, you know. This. It's always, there might be something else that's more enlivening at this moment that I can choose.
More lively, I like that.
Yeah, more enlivening. But I do notice that many people are doing so much more than they realize because the world judges our outer actions, our accomplishments, and our soul, as it judges success in accordance with our outer doings, whereas the soul does not judge success in that way. But the heart,
and what can be done for that? Because I feel like that is a really difficult, I actually have this contemplation of my meditation in the wee hours of this morning. But there is, you know, and especially if you've come in and you've come more from the soul perspective, there is this, what's expected in on the outer, the kind of the outer program, and of course mainstream consensus. And then you have this inner directive. You know, I was looking around saying, oh, some of the choices, I thought, wow, these are really all soul, spirit-led choices, you know. Now I'm making some different choices that might be, you know, more tangibly or materially based because that's the time. But I thought, wow, that's really not my orientation. What would you say, Kathleen, for those that are perhaps finding themselves in that center where they see, wow, there is these inner choices in more of a soul level or soul directive, and then the outer, how to perhaps reconcile that, come to peace? Any thoughts that you have on that for our listeners?
Well, isn't it timely? I was writing about that most of yesterday morning, and I had hoped that the blog post would be up by today, but I wanted to focus on today more. So I will say a little bit now, but I will also say that if anyone would be interested in reading more, there will be a post up this week. I'm not going to commit myself to which day.
Okay.
I will put it up, and if anybody's on Twitter, I'll tweet it. But, you know, my own sense of this is that, I would say that my experience at this point, because I've been working with this since the 80s, and so I wrote this in one of the posts, that when you don't quite know what the curriculum is and your teachers are non-physical, it takes a while sometimes to learn these things. So that's my excuse. I say that jokingly because it really feels like it's such a long lesson, and it goes on. The thing is, it's really fun, and I enjoy it, and I think I'll probably be doing this for the rest of my life. But for me, it's now at this point all the same thing. You know, it's a matter of putting my attention when the mind and the heart are joined, and there are many ways to do this, and today I'm going to offer a really simple one that was used by the early desert fathers, the Sufis, and the Sufis, and many early mystics. But as I said, there's many ways. Drungpa Rama Kizadek has his marvelous ways, so you can connect the mind and the heart a number of ways. But when, for me, the mind and the heart are connected, and just as easy as allowing the mind to drop into the heart with the breath, and you're focused on your breath in your heart, you can feel what is appropriate and the decision. And sometimes the person, when you first start doing this, at least for me, I can remember my personality self crying because I was leaving a certain place. I was actually leaving my former husband, not then finally, but for a period of time with our four young children and going to study with a healer up in Taos, New Mexico. And I remember the feeling. I didn't want to leave him, and I had no idea how we were going to support two households. And I had to drive up to the healer and study with him. And my heart was so clear that this was the thing to do, that my personality was going through a little unhappiness. But I remember at the time thinking that it was peripheral, that all the sadness or suffering or whatever you might want to call it that the personality might go through was nothing to the suffering my heart would have felt if I hadn't listened to it, because it was so clear. And that was probably, and that was in the mid-70s. So, I think 74. So that was the first time I became acutely aware that I was bringing my personality into alignment with my soul. And so there were times for me when my personality was afraid that it would suffer if it did what my heart and soul wanted to do. Kind of like you have to do the will of God, and the will of God might not feel good, sort of thing. You know?
Right, right. But
at the same time, when one is aware of the heart and the personality at the same time, which is, now we're all going to do that, you know, it's not that big a deal. But at the time, you know, I was getting used to it. But still, the suffering you cause your heart is intense. But that's why people often find themselves having difficulties physically, because there's so much in our heads in this culture that we often pay no attention to what our heart is telling us. I mean, all the people on this call and who will listen to this call will, you know, but for the majority of people, which I think is changing, you know, I feel it changing a lot, it's still a newer thing to listen to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's happening more and more.
And it's interesting what you say, because at some point, you know, when there's that initiation and then one becomes an aspirant or aspiring and then a disciple being disciplined when whatever their path is, at some point there does become that infusion of that fusion, which is that soul alignment where the personality is more and more aligned to the soul. And then you're right, it is one. It is one life. There isn't this, for some a battle, some a push-pull, some wonderment. It is the soul's plan, the soul's purpose, the soul's impetus comes through in your living, in your life, in what you're about. And, I look at that, Kathleen, and I say, that's, to me, it's at one point, there's a seamlessness.
Say more about that.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, when you were talking about the mental, it's like sometimes I feel, you know, in our culture, we're compartmentalizing and we're taught to do that. And we do that, we do need to do that to a bit to say, oh, you know, maybe I need to take this supplement or this for my body and this nurtures my mind or my spirit. But I find that as there's more alignment, there's less seemingly separation. There's less this is that part and that is this part. It's just more all one. So seamless, you know, there's less, I guess, boundary of the soul and the personality.
Well, again, we're having the same thoughts, because I was really... every time we speak, whether it's on air or privately, you know, this comes up. As I was listening to what I was hearing this morning, along with knowing what to do in one's life that we might think of as, well, our soul's next step. I heard when I'm focused on my heart, as I'm always being reminded to keep focused there, because my actions, my thoughts will then come from the presence that expresses through me that I really am, that we all really are. But even in mundane things, you know, I was talking, I was hearing things like, whatever is food for me, you know, to listen to everything, to pay attention, and without judgment, without judging this is right or wrong, good or bad, but that whatever resonates with my heart would be obvious as I'm focused in the area of my heart, which is really, you know, the more we each, I'm actually going to get to the point in a minute, but the more we
No, I love what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the more we're each focused with some part of our attention on the breathing and in the area of our heart, the resonance, where to go, who to meet, what to listen to, you know, because we can only, as many scientists are pointing out, you know, we can only focus on a certain amount in our reality. We just can't focus on it all, so we're selective. When we become selective through resonance, things change. Everything changes. Now, what they said to me, I say they, you know, for want of, you know, what else am I going to say? But what I'm hearing was the food that you eat, it will be clear what resonates for you. I had been kind of going, when you mentioned vitamins and things, you know, if I paid attention to all the very wonderful dietary books that I've looked at, from Ayurvedic to the blood type diet and so on, I would have literally nothing to eat. I mean, I found out that if I listened to everybody, I would need to be a breatharian immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was really making me crazy. And so when I heard that this morning, I just really felt it, oh, of course, resonance. Just look, feel if I resonate with this food. So now I'm thinking, well, there's one other. In fact, I wrote down three things because, you know, I'm in the middle of creating a workshop out of all the work I've been doing with this, with a group I've been meeting with on a monthly basis for the last year and a half. So out of all that is coming this workshop being called Create From Your Heart. And the things that I wrote down this morning were connect and clear. And then there's one other thing which I'll get to later. But so connecting with our hearts, really developing a relationship with our heart, which for me is the seat of the soul. And clearing the heart becomes really important because, and clearing, I'd really want to say something a little bit clearer about clearing, which is, for me, I'm seeing that there's nowhere for any of the intense, sometimes traumatic emotions that our hearts have stored. There's nowhere for them to go. It's really about transforming them. So in order to really hear our hearts, to really feel and know and be in alignment with our soul, it's important to be transforming the heavy memories, emotional storage that's happened for most of us. And that's a big piece of it. So sometimes people say, well, I really don't get accurate information. And what's happening is that sometimes the intellect is too loud. It's saying very strongly, you should do this, you need to do this. This, you know, it's giving a lot of opinions. So noticing that, witnessing it, dropping out of the head, saying, okay, I appreciate your information, but let's just hear from the heart right now. I do conflict resolution, you know. The biggest conflict resolution, and where the place that needs to have harmony created, is between our heads and our hearts. And dropping in into the heart, and whether it's with the breath and intention, with sound, just letting whatever wants to be transformed by the light in our hearts, the love that's always there, letting that be transformed into light, just taking a few minutes to do some little cleaning practice, will really assist people. Sometimes people need to do a little aerobic something if the emotion's really strong, or do some sound releasing, or whatever practice they can use. Often that has to happen first.
First, to get the movement going?
Well, to be able to really access the wisdom in the heart, to know what the heart's resonating with. Sometimes we've got too much static from the head, and then these old memories. And so especially when one is creating from the heart, we're going to create the same old scenario that needs to be healed unless we transform it. So there's that work that has to be done. It's like all simultaneously.
Yeah. And there seems to be even such a importance. I've seen it as being important all the time, but I'm seeing more people become aware of this, the clearing, or, you know, if you want to say recalibrating, or, you know, transforming that energy, so that it is vital. You know, it's not, you know, when you were speaking of the heart too, I was thinking like people that say I'm heavy of heart or heavy heart, you know, it's clearing those feelings, right?
Well, I mean, it is. They are heavy. When I have people do this exercise, it's really a matter of when you're going to listen to what your heart is resonating with. Or let's just say, if people right now wanted to try this, if you had a decision to make, for instance, you can just drop into your heart with your breathing and just hold that decision there, whether you visualize it or sense it or feel it or just say it. You know, it can be a very simple thing. You know, should I, a friend of mine had the question to herself, should I help this friend? And there were reasons why she wanted to and why she didn't want to. And so your heart will feel many different ways, and it's, you don't judge, you just observe. You might notice a feeling of contraction. It might even be very slight, or a feeling of expansion, a feeling of tiredness. They can be extreme or very subtle. Enlivening is what I often use. If you say joyful, sometimes, you know, people aren't going to feel joyful about something, but it is enlivening. It's the more energizing thing to do.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I wrote this. This will be in the blog because this was one that I've only had happen to me once. I was in a job situation, and there was a big change that happened, and I had a decision to make about staying or going. And the first day that I appeared when the change had taken place, it felt, when I checked into my body, as though someone had turned a light switch off in my body. It was all dark inside my body. And until I made the decision to leave, the light switch did not go back on. It was really, you couldn't miss this sensation. So I've had them from very subtle to very strong. And the more you pay attention, the more they almost even cease to be subtle, even when they're more subtle. But they're always, they're nonverbal. They're nonverbal. And you know whether it's a yes or no before the intellect even has a chance to say yes or no. To put a yes or no to it. You'll just know immediately. The more you play with it, the more you'll feel it. And everybody has very different responses.
I like to the enlivening because it is bringing more of that life force on. And my thought, too, as you're speaking, Kathleen, is that you're listening to the soul is turning that light switch on. It's came, for me, what I'm hearing from you, the message came through for you in this way. And since you're listening and you know you want to go for that which is more enlivening or life-enhancing, you know the answer. You don't have to... Right? We don't have to think or mull things over.
No, it was really clear. Even though it meant no income. I mean, I went through a period that many people are going through right now on the planet. I've already had my recession, you know?
Yeah.
And depression.
Like
it was very, very, very intense, you know, and I couldn't afford the place that I was living in. And it ended up putting me on a journey that was rather amazing. It, you know, it all was fine. I never found myself without a place to be, without wonderful people to be with. Was never without anything, but it wasn't a typical life experience in modern time. And I wouldn't have, my personality would not have consciously chose it. Not at all.
Well, the personality part of it, we like comfort.
We do. And I have to say that the only part of me that was really uncomfortable throughout this entire journey, which still continues. I mean, my life has not been normal. Normal, my friend once said to me, the universe no longer regards you as normal. I think this is true for many of us. We just have different ways of expressing it. But, you know, most of us would like to have some security. And for me, the way my soul chose to go through this, the rest of this particular lifetime, seems to be without the security as my intellect knew it. And so the security had to happen from connecting with the soul, not from outer things that I could point to and pretend that we're never going to stop or go away.
Well, and you know what's interesting, though, is that's where, as a collective, it's going anyway. It's the I just spoke of this last week, it's the inner security, the security of the soul, that is the evolution. That's, you know, you got it already. It's like, that's why everything, you know, part of the taking away or the dissolving, so to speak, is to people to move into that inner security.
Yeah. No, it's true. It is, and apparently, friends have been saying this, I'm telling you, since the early 80s, most of the people that I was close with then were all saying some of us need to be there to assist when people go through big changes, which will come. And, you know, at the time I said, yes, that's right, isn't that nice? I'm so happy to do that, but I had no idea what that really meant. And, but until one is willing to go through them, and I can't exactly say I was so willing to go through them. Let's just put it this way. I was there. Yeah. What could I do?
Right, exactly. What can you do? But
what, scream and kick? There really wasn't a whole lot of choice at that point. But, you know, it didn't, we are here to be of service. I mean, Einstein himself said something like, you may remember the exact quote, those who will be truly happy will be those who serve. And that is what makes me really happy. And everybody, I'm sure you would say the same thing. When we're contributing to other people's lives in a way that is uplifting, well, we're uplifted at the same time, you know? And what could be a better thing to do, you know? There really isn't anything better to do. So, you know, now I'm glad I look back and I say, well, you know, it was a little gnarly, but now when somebody's going through that, I can relate. It's not like I've read all these nice spiritual things and I can console them. No, I've been there. I know what it feels like, and I might be there again tomorrow. You know?
Well, that's a new group of world servers, or the vast light workers and starseeds had to live it to a certain degree to be able to be authentic, not academic. And you really, to me, touched on this earlier when you said, you know, about being overly mental. It used to be that you could be just, you know, studying things and, you know, I'm an expert on this because I've studied this, you know, academically, and I did this, and, you know, there is still a bit of that around, but that it's really shifting to, have you lived that? Are you living that? You know, are you that? And it goes back to what you're saying also, resonance. It has to have the resonance. It has to be that resonance. Because we are vibratory beings, you know, first and foremost. So,
well, because people feel it. You know, people can feel empty words.
Yes.
And also,
yes.
Well, this also reminds me of the conversation that you and I just had together, and I find myself wanting to repeat a piece of it, which is that we, when the New Age movement really started, and so many of us believed that our outer world reflected what we were doing internally, so that if we didn't have a beautiful home and the perfect mate and perfect health and all, you know, all these things, that we were doing something wrong. And it's
yes.
so important for that myth to be busted over and over again, because, you know, I think what I really want is for more people not to go through what I went through, because I think probably in this journey, the thing that was most difficult for me was feeling like I was doing something wrong, and I'd keep saying, am I doing something wrong? And I'd keep hearing, you're not doing anything wrong. But the evidence from all that I was hearing on the outside, you know, the metaphysical community that I was in at the time, I didn't seem to feel very validated by it, because my life was falling apart outwardly. Mm-hmm. It looked terrible. And now, you know, after all those years, I realize that it was perfect. So, you know, I guess it's so important, I feel, for people to know that what their life looks like externally is not reflecting what's going on in their soul necessarily. That's a reductionism. You know, it's very dicey when we're translating things intellectually, because it hits the level of duality. And in the level of duality, it's very difficult to express truth. So for some people, they're having a difficult time in their reality, and they may need to look at some of their thoughts. That's true. I would never say it isn't true. And did I need to look at some of my thoughts? Of course I did. But to judge your existence by what's happening in your reality, it's just not viable.
No. And I love what you say. It's reductionism. So true. It's this experience, this expression is such a small part of who we are. It's like if my little finger's a little more curved than some of my other fingers, and saying that the whole hand, something's going on. Well, there's a certain expression that we are living out, you know, on this layer of existence. And yeah, I'm hoping that becomes more known, Kathleen. I'm hoping that more people know that they're not reduced to this single expression, or what happens to them, you know, physically or mentally or emotionally, that it's not just about this small part, this small expression. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, look at that. I mean, yeah, but sometimes it's your soul calling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why the heart. That's why one drops into the heart and listens, and clears the heart and listens, because then you know. When I need to look at something in myself, it is abundantly clear, because my heart is making a loud sound. You know, and if I translate what my heart is saying to me at the time, it might be something like, do you really want to be thinking that thought right now? it doesn't talk, mind you, you know, but it is letting me know that vibrationally. Oh, oops, you know, or if I start to speak to someone and maybe I'm going to be a little impatient. You know, I had this experience with my wonderful friend Carrie Alter, who is an incredible healer as well. And Carrie and I were discussing something or other, and she said something to me which hit a button, you know. And maybe 3 years ago, I said something back to her that had a sharpness to it. And my whole body registered pain. I mean, not just the heart. You know, I mean, the heart is a focal point for me, but really it's the entire body, mind, the whole unit. Pain. And I had to apologize immediately. I said, I'm so sorry. You know, it was so obvious to me that we're one. And that whatever I do or say to somebody else, I'm doing to myself. And so we cleared up, you know, when she said what she said, it brought up this path. We just healed it in like seconds.
You listen to your heart instead of the emotions. Now we have a caller here. Let's see. Hello, 216-225. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program. Oh, they just disappeared. Maybe they're calling from work, and they had to hang up quickly.
maybe they'll call back again.
Yeah. Should we do a bit of sound healing?
We talked about a couple things, and I had this idea, Michelle, of something, and I wanted to preface that. We were considering, a dual sort of thing. So I could tell you really quickly what I have in mind, and then wherever you would do what you would do, since we haven't had that discussion.
Okay, sounds perfect.
But I was thinking that everybody who wishes could begin by just placing their own two hands on the center of their chest and connecting with both the physical heart, really feeling the steady, rhythmic beat of their own heart, and then, of course, the entire heart chakra. And just beginning there, and we could just give people a minute. We were hoping that the sounds of the bells, well, the gongs might not work through the cell phone. I think the bells would. But the most important thing is that people intend for anything that is heavy on the heart to be transformed by the light in that person's own heart and move to the next, moved right in to harmony with all that they are. Just that heaviness released and transformed. And so I thought I could, I've got some, the F Burma bell for the heart and the crystal bowl for the high heart. And I thought I could do those sounds, and people could either sound ah silently or breathe or out loud, whatever their circumstances permit, and just take a first, before we do anything, just take a minute to clear, and then if you wanted anything that you would like to do at that point, and then what I would really like to do is have people connect with the deepest dreams that they hold in their heart, known and unknown, and we send them out with our breath to all the infinite possibilities that our hearts most resonate with, so that they can come into form.
Beautiful. Okay, so we'll start. Let's, those that want to participate, just bringing your attention inward into the heart, lung area, and the Anahata center, the seat of the soul, that place of the physical local heart. And as you turn and look within, begin to connect into the universal heart, the I am that I am. And placing both your hands in the heart chakra area as you connect to the dreams, known and unknown, the dreams that are moving through you as you, through that universal expression of love, light, wisdom. Breathe into the heart and know that you are aligning to your own internal timing, your own inner rhythm inside. Kathleen.
Now I'm going to play the bell and the bowl, and first we'll do a little clearing. The sound ah is very powerful, so with your intention and internal sound of ah, we'll just transform any old memories that are ready to be transformed. Now with our minds, we focus on the breath as the mind flows down the breath into the heart. And as we connect even more deeply our minds with our hearts, we allow these dreams to go out like points of light emanating in all directions from our heart, connecting with the infinite possibilities that they most resonate with.
wonderful, be beautiful, wonderful healing. I really feel a lot lighter. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of humanity. Let light descend on earth. Thank you, Pont, for in the chat for that bit of a great invocation. And Kathleen, thank you for this wonderful attunement.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope that all came through. I couldn't tell because my computer is not happening.
It was. Some of it was a little light, but you could feel it vibrationally, and okay. Definitely the bowls you could really hear and feel. And then the words came through, the language came through.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, which was wonderful. And that just happened for you, right? At one point on your path, just this aligning to this language.
Well, yeah. As I understand it, it's even though I do get translations every now and then, it's what it says is also what it does. And by the time it's translated into English, it's definitely now in duality as opposed to before it gets translated. So it's really about the vibration rather than the meaning. They're the same, but not at the level of the intellect. So it obviously came in today to reinforce what we did vibrationally.
Mm-hmm. And did.
Yeah. You know, I noticed, in fact, I did write this in another blog once, because one of the things I translated, which people might like to know, is Iyashe. And someone pointed out to me that Namaste and Iyashe sound very similar. And Iyashe translates as, well, really in two ways, very much like Namaste. It's an acknowledgement of the light that we each are, of the divinity of the light that we each are. But the way I often hear it is it's a greeting, but sometimes I hear it more as be the light that you are, you know, as a reminder.
Ooh, I love that.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
Iyashe, you know, be the light.
Yeah.
You know, like, wake up. Remember.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And many say, you know, we are in this great time of remembering, that it really is about remembering, you know, who you are. I always say, not for people, not, you know, you don't need to search for who you are. We know who you are. It's a remembering of that. But how do you want to express this, and where do you want to express this? I love that healing, that work that you did. I just love that. And the vibration of those words that you spoke, that came through you, very attuning, very aligning.
Good. Well, your part, thank you so much for your words as well.
Oh, we little
I knew that was going to work well.
Yes.
Well, you know, I keep saying maybe we'll see each other when I make it to Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah, now let everyone know. Now, you were, you know, did you wind out of, you were doing some workshops in the Northern California area. Is that still occurring? Or
well, the last one is April 18th of the monthly Stand Out For Me event. And I will be leaving here. The plan right now, and we know that plans, but the plan right now is that I will be leaving here around the 1st of May. And I've been waiting for further instructions. And it's just little hints, you know. And one of them is my wonderful friend Carrie in Egypt wants to do some spiritual tours, and she asked me if I would teach the Creating from the Heart, and we will be doing this work in very sacred sites in Egypt, temples and places. She's been there for, you know, a long time and knows exactly where would be good places. So there's that. There's, of course, as you well know, some of us talking about joining Miss Simon in New Zealand. So
yeah.
They're just, you know, the infinite possibilities that may occur are, as you put again, in divine timing, in our perfect timing, different things showing up. But I do have the sense that I will be in Los Angeles this summer giving the Create From Your Heart event and having private sessions. So people can contact me if anyone is interested in hosting an event or having private sessions. And I think things are going to become clearer in the next month. Well, they will be, because I need to know.
You need to know. But I'm finding that right there's so much of that right now. And if we look astrologically, it's really that Saturn Uranus energy where there's this foundation, but then there are these flashes of insight, direction, intuition. There's a lot happening and then nothing, and then a lot of sprinkling of something, and then something opens, you know, and you go through, you know. And so it, a lot is in that very Uranian fashion, kind of last minute. It's like a lot of things put out there, and then which one, like in divine right timing, comes through, which one rotates to be right in front of you. You know, it's like a door, a slow revolving door that sometimes whips you around and you go, woo, there we go.
Yeah, what a surprise. But I will tell, I did want to tell people this, and you just reminded me. The first time I did what we did today was the winter solstice event of 2008. And I didn't invent this exercise. I literally saw rays coming from my heart, rays of light, connecting with the possibilities I resonated with. 2 weeks later, I was handed an amount of money in order for me to go live in Hawaii. And that was, obviously it's a longer story that I'm shortening, but I had had the deep heart desire to live in Hawaii in 1988. I wanted to live there so badly. And I had a fabulous business consulting job and children that needed the money. You know, some of them needed the money that I was generating, and it would have been a shirking of responsibility to take off. And I needed to stay with the job anyway. So I, at the time, felt that deep longing, and I really needed to let it go. Well, all those years later, suddenly, I'm living in Hawaii, just like I wanted to on the Big Island. It was, and I'd forgotten that that was a dream of my heart. So you just don't know what'll happen. And then, when it was time to come back, I knew 2 months ahead of time. I don't always know last minute. 2 months ahead of time, I had the distinct knowing that I needed to be back, that it had to do with my mother, that it wasn't a bad thing, but it had to do with my mother. 2 months later, my sister called and said, are you doing anything that would prevent you from coming back? I mean, you know, if you are, don't worry about it, but if you could be back here and be with our mom until I can come back and be with her, because she's way out in the country and we really like someone to be there. And I said, sure, I already knew I was coming back. Fine. And that's what I did. And it's been perfect.
Being spirit-led, that's answering the call, the openings, going through. Simon is saying, good. He's doing a great chat with Kat. Lovely hearing your voices. Yeah, it is great for all of us to connect. I think there's so much empowerment in the connecting, you know, confirming, reaffirming, and all of us using our gifts, sharing our gifts, you know, that I think is a really big part of the coming together. Is it's almost like a potluck. Someone, everybody's bringing something, and even if it's right, even if it's the two of the same dishes, they're not quite exactly the same, right? They're you know, one a little less spicy, one more spicy, you know, something to everyone's taste. But very important, I think, for people to connect and share. The you know, the being in satsang or sangha, that connecting in, but also the sharing of our individual gifts.
Absolutely. I love the potluck analogy. That's great.
Do you like? I just like this flashed in my mind, Kathleen. Like I thought, it's like a great big potluck. Everybody's bringing something.
It's so true. And different things, you know. I had been wanting these xylitol mints for a long time. I couldn't find them, and we have a potluck at my events because everybody always gets so hungry. So it's kind of a snack sort of thing. And yeah. There's this big little jar of these mints that I'd wanted that somebody brought. She didn't have time to fix food, and that's what she wanted to bring, and I was thrilled.
Oh,
you know,
it was perfect.
It was wonderful.
And that brings us back to that saying with Martha Graham, you know, about being the open channel, but knowing that whatever we're bringing or doing or being is right, you know, not to dismiss it or minimize it. Somebody could have said, oh, I only can bring mints, but but you may be just craving those mints or maybe a wonderful new find for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's, until it's the April 18th, I want to touch on that a little bit and put it in the chat. That is the, is that the Creating from the Heart?
No, actually, they haven't been what I call, they're not workshops. I started an event, the solstice, really, that I came back, and it was more of a community event. And so,
okay.
Yeah. And so we always have a sound aspect of it, and we go into sacred space, into ritual. And the last time we did, what we just did today was a piece of what we did because it was time to sow seeds. It was spring equinox. And last year when we sowed seeds, one of the most important things that happened for me was I got on Twitter and met you and Simon and our wonderful friends Mauricio and Andre.
That's
one of the big
things. Well, there's those openings, you know.
And my website finally was created. You know, I mean, it was a big equinox.
Ah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no website. I had no MP3.
Well, we had the blue moon, I think. We had the two full moons also around that time, I believe.
It was big. This month, so we planted seeds, but still I have clients calling or seeing me and what they're telling me. I'm still going through stuff. Well, look at the cycle. It isn't rebirth yet. I mean, the cycle we're in, particularly those of us in the West, you know, when you're not just thinking in terms of Christian symbols or Jewish symbols, I mean, it's Passover, you know, freedom,
right,
and rebirth, you know, Jesus rising from the dead, that all that symbology. Rebirth hasn't quite happened yet. So, and here's to me what's also interesting. Mercury goes into retrograde, so all those R's goes into retrograde on the 17th, the review, redo. You know, I stopped being worried about Mercury retrograde for the most part. I mean, things can happen, of course, but it's such a good time. Regenerate. Well, rebirth. How about rebirth?
Yeah.
You know, I really think we sowed seeds, but our new lives, we haven't, a lot of us, quite stepped in fully into this new life. We're in the midst of a lot of us clearing stuff. A lot of people have been sick, physically throwing off more stuff, emotions coming up, old patterns, because this rebirth, many of us are stepping into very different lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
and
true.
It's there in the midst of getting formed. Some people always have them happen sooner, some a little later, but there's a whole bunch of us moving into very different lives. Mm-hmm. So that's my
and it's really
wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And it is a time to do that with awareness, do that with care. Kathleen, this has been a wonderful conversation, wonderful sharing, and wonderful attunement with you. We are winding down, so I want to let everyone know, we put it in the chat room, but also those that are listening, perhaps by phone or later in the archives, Kathleen Casey, we have been speaking with Sound Healer. You can reach her at soundalchemykc.com. Thank you, Kathleen, for being on the program.
Oh, thanks so much, Michelle. Much love to you and to all the wonderful people listening. May your hearts create more more wonderful lives than your intellects could possibly imagine.
On that note, keep shining your light and sharing your insight. And until next time, keep awake.